speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
One interesting and profitable way of Bible study is to look at characters of the Bible. And I believe the man Stephen is one of the outstanding characters to be found in the Bible. In Acts chapter 6, we read that the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And then verse 10 informs us they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spake. Then they hired men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and against the law. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. That's reading from verse 7 down through verse 13 in Acts chapter 6. Indeed, Stephen was an outstanding man for many reasons. His name means wreath or crown. He was one of those seven men chosen to serve tables when there was a disagreement or there was a problem in the church at Jerusalem about the way the widows were being taken care of, and the Grecians felt that their widows were being neglected. But another outstanding thing about this man Stephen is that he is the first recorded martyr for Christ's cause. His defense of Christianity, in which he summarized the entire Old Testament teachings, provoked the Jewish leader so much that they cast him out of the city and they brutally stoned him to death. One blessing from his becoming a martyr was the impact it had on the man named Saul, who's holding the garments of those who stoned Stephen. Some other interesting things about Stephen: he was full of faith, we learn in Acts 6, verse 5, so there's no room for doubt or fear in his heart. In verse 8 of Acts 6, he's full of grace, a gift from God, proving itself in graciousness. And Paul would later write, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Titus 2, verse 11, verse 12. Another thing about Stephen, it was that he was full of power. That is, he had the ability from God to do miraculous works. That's in Acts 6, verse 8. And that gift, that power, no doubt given him through the laying on of the apostles' hands, because they were able to impart spiritual gifts in that manner. From Acts 6, verse 15, he was full of light, for the Holy Spirit within gave him the face of an angel. From chapter 7, we know that he was full of Scripture. His sermon covered history from Abraham right down to the time of Christ. He was full of wisdom, Acts 6, verse 3. And we know from James 1, verse 5, that wisdom comes from above. He was full of courage. He neither feared nor favored man, Acts 7, verse 51. And he was certainly full of love, because as the stones broke his head, they did not break his heart. Because he prayed in Acts 7, verse 60, even as he was dying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Now, any and all of these qualities are worthy of further consideration. But in the time remaining this afternoon, we want to zero in on Stephen's faith. And we're calling our lesson, "The First Martyr's Faith." We learn from Acts chapter 7 that his faith was centered in God. In verse 2, Stephen is doing the preaching. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" When he was brought before the council. And he said, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charran." And so this martyr knew the Father as the God of glory. And indeed, he was a glorious Father. Matthew 17, verse 1 through 8, records the transfiguration of Christ upon the mountain. And the three apostles saw the glory of God in Christ, and they remarked that his face was as the face of an angel. And they were amazed at what they saw that day. And Peter was so inspired and so moved that he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias." And that's when they heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Peter later writes about that in 2 Peter chapter 1 with verse 17. "For he," Christ, "received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And so, Stephen, the first martyr, looks upon God as the God of glory. And Peter said he received from God the Father honor and glory when the Father spoke to him. And we learn furthermore that Stephen's faith was centered in God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And certainly Stephen's faith was in this God, and he was rewarded by God. But he says back in verse 2 of Acts 7, "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." God appeared, God made himself known. He didn't hide himself from man. In verse 5, he is the one who gave his only begotten Son. Verse 5 reads, "And he gave him none inheritance in it," that's speaking of Abraham, "no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no seed." Our God is a giving God. He's a benevolent God. And there's no way to outgive him either. Our God is a God who promises and who keeps his promises. He kept his promise made to Abraham that through thy seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So when we look at the man Stephen, we see a man who had great faith, a man who had great faith that was centered in God. Do we have our faith centered in the Father? Do we have a faith like Stephen did? Do we trust his promises? Do we fear his threats, his warnings? Do we keep his commandments? Christ said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Well, Stephen's faith was not only centered in God, but his faith was centered in the Word of God. He says at verse 2 again, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, 'Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee.'" Notice, God spoke to Abraham. And Stephen here is summarizing the entire history of the Old Testament. And he says those events recorded in the Old Testament are accepted as true history. And yet there are many people today that are trying to steal the faith of people by saying the Word of God is not reliable. The Word of God is not the authentic Word of God. But Stephen's faith was in God, and he said God communicates, God speaks. His faith was in the truth of the Scriptures. Verse 6, that God spake on this wise. Well, God spoke to Abraham, and God is speaking to our hearts through Stephen's words recorded by Luke in the book of Acts. And Stephen's faith was in the truth of the Scriptures, and that faith fortified him for the persecution that's now taking place and the persecution that will take his life. Again, I ask, in what is our faith anchored? Do we have hope as an anchor of the soul? Do we have the faith that the Lord commends and the Lord rewards? On one occasion, he said to some of his disciples, O ye of little faith. Do we need more faith? The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Indeed, we need the faith like this martyr Stephen had. A faith that would cause us to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He means what He says, a faith that would cause us to repent of our sins, to confess the name of Christ, to be baptized into Christ, to be added by Christ to His church, so that there we might faithfully live for Him and serve Him, and by being faithful unto death, have heaven as our home.